I think it just keeps reminding us, especially in this world of technology and softwares and automation and all of these little intricacies that have changed the face of how we work, that people are still the foundational component to making our businesses succeed.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I hope you're having a lovely day today. Oh, man, it is cold and rainy and terrible in Chicago. And Jacqueline up in Wisconsin, probably not too much better. We're going to meet her in a moment. But listen, everybody, it's all about being that lawyer. And one of the things that's been just coming in as a regular part of the show has been dealing with the great resignation, staffing, hiring, people leaving in record numbers, people getting offered ridiculous money. It's just just the Wild West out there. And we've got to figure out how to get a handle on it so we can get back focused to building the business and growing business and all of that. And having support staff is really, really critical. So Jacqueline's going to talk to us in a moment. I do want to thank our sponsors, Legalese Marketing and MoneyPenny, and you'll hear more about them later. And Jacqueline was so kind to send a quote to me. And first of all, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Yes, rainy and cold here. Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
And I'm a big fan of anyone from Chicago because that's where half of my family is. My wife's from the Milwaukee area, and I've got family up in Fond du Lac. And I don't know, I'm just, you know, we're the Midwesterners. We're the down-to-earth folks, right?
We're tough.
We're tough, but we're nice and we're fair, right? That's what we are here in the Midwest?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm going to introduce you in more detail in a moment, but your quote is, you can design and create and build the most wonderful place in the world, but it takes people to make the dream a reality. And that can't be anyone other than Walt Disney. So tell me a little bit about why you submitted that quote and why that's your favorite quote.
Absolutely. So it's my favorite quote. Obviously, it speaks to this conversation we're having today with staffing and managing people. And really, at the end of the day, it's we all as business owners have this idea and this dream in our head of where we're going to take our business. And then we start to get into it and realize we can't do it alone. And it speaks to the thought of at any moment in time, you're ready to hire, you're ready to bring somebody into your business to help continuing the development, moving that football down the field at all points of your career or of your business growth. And so I think it just keeps reminding us, especially in this world of technology and softwares and automation and all of these little intricacies that have changed the face of how we work, that people are still the foundational component to making our businesses succeed.
Yeah, and I think that's come through more now than ever, that people are the most important part of a law firm, of a business. Without good people, without that team, you see how fast things can crumble. And I think a lot of law firms have seen that, and people taking jobs for more money. Well, why? Well, because the culture wasn't there. The relationships weren't there. There wasn't a firm that had a common cause, right? Something that connected them to that employer, that firm. And so I think that's a really good quote and very timely. Jacqueline Foster is the founder of Dell Trust Law Firm Solutions. And I'd love to have you share your background leading up to running this amazing business of helping law firms with their staffing.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm a paralegal by trade. I was a paralegal before I opened this business up. I worked exclusively in solo firms. I have a lot of hands-on knowledge of what it takes to run a solo practice, advance as a case manager. And then when I moved into the very rural atmosphere that is Wisconsin and the area of Wisconsin that I'm in, and, you know, became a mother, it quickly dawned on me that it didn't make financial sense for me to travel 30, 40 minutes into town to take a job at a very low rate and pay for daycare and all those things. So while I really enjoyed being a stay-at-home mom, I quickly realized that my brain could not be settled on just that. Again, it was, you know, I was designed to be his mother, but I was not designed to be only that. So in October of 2018, I started subcontracting through a company and was able to be connected with law firms in Chicago. I had worked for a Texas Supreme Court candidate out in Texas. I went to firms in Georgia, and I just kind of bounced all around the state or country in these different firms and quickly got this appreciation for what I was doing for these firms and how much I, at my firms that I worked for in-house, I could have benefited from what I was doing. So took a couple of years to really get a solid understanding of remote work. This was before the pandemic. This was before there was really any solid support out there on teaching companies how to manage this type of work and understanding the technology behind it, the relationships behind it, and really how to make the situation succeed, that I finally got the confidence and just happened to get the confidence to open my own business in the thick of the stay-at-home orders of March of 2020.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of a happenstance, or it was a chance that I started in the thick of the pandemic, which probably is a big reason for our quick growth, because everybody went home. Everybody was working remotely suddenly, and it wasn't such a foreign concept. And then from there, just really took it in further, where I don't just like to offer these services here and there. I really like to focus on staffing strategy, and especially in that legal atmosphere, exclusively in the legal atmosphere, because lawyers, law firms, it's a different animal. It's different from your realtors. It's different from every other industry out there. So honing in on my skills, not only to keep the attorneys and the law firms supported in a strategic way, but also to really harness relationships with professionals across the country, paralegals, legal assistants alike, and kind of marry the two and come up with these really great solutions for law firms to consider when they're looking at their staffing needs.
Yeah. And I think the pandemic and now the great resignation has really opened up people to the idea that virtual assistants is kind of a great thing to have, and that you don't need somebody, you know, in the office filing, that there's so much that can be done virtually. So talk about like the last 2 years and what you've seen as it relates to changes in the environments and law firms and the way that they're thinking and how you're supporting that.
Sure. So when I first started, I saw a lot of firms coming to me saying, you know, I had to furlough my employees and they left me. You know, they were able to be swooped up by these big sharks that have been able to dump all their money in and make this work quickly and adjust to that pandemic quickly. They were swooped up. They didn't stick around very long and waiting to be called back, but they lost their support and they had nothing. So that was kind of the theme when I first started. However, as things have been evolving and people realizing, even as we're on the back end of the pandemic, everybody's back in office, things are sort of kind of coming back to a normal so such and such approach. I mean, what is normal anymore? But realizing that having a taste for those solutions that they figured on how to solve, you know, losing employees, not having anybody working for them, they need that little bit of support. I think now firms are realizing that they can take leverage of these options, which the options I'm discussing is hiring professional contractors, paralegals, like you said, virtual admins, things of that nature, to fill needs in incremental ways, that we're never going ahead of our growth and we're never staying behind our growth. We're staying right there in that growth phase every step of the way in a very predictable, a very measurable way, on knowing exactly what we need in the exact moment we need it and who needs to fill that role. So it's kind of evolved in a mixture of a panic to a strategy approach. And so it's really, I mean, like you said, with the great resignation, a lot of paralegals, a very large amount of paralegals, legal assistants, do not want to go back into the office. They've gotten a taste of at-home work. It's become a trend. And now that's the new normal. So it's kind of marrying the two, strategy and that need or that want from the employees to make something work.
And are there still the same level of concerns that law firms want to have their paralegals in-house and working at the firm versus being virtual, or is that dissipating significantly?
I think it's both. It's dissipating significantly in the sense of they're finding, you know, the main reason people wanted somebody in-house in the office, butts in the seat, was for that phone ringing, those clients coming through. I think that a lot of firms are realizing they can hire somebody strategic for that, as far as a receptionist, a client services coordinator, somebody that can be in that seat. But the more expensive professionals, they're learning they can outsource and keep at home for productivity reasons, for access to that talent. you know, if they're across the state, if they're across the country. So I think it's a mixture. A lot of firms have gone fully virtual. I've even seen estate planning firms going fully virtual. So it's a mixture of meeting that person in house, but being strategic in who that person really is.
Yeah. So what's from your perspective, the magic formula to determine the best hire for a firm? Because that's a huge gap right now in firms not really, you know, they're trying to fill roles, they're trying to replace associates, they're trying to figure out how to manage the work, but they also don't want to make a bad hire. So how are you doing it? Or what's the magic formula that you've seen?
So my other favorite quote, other than Walt Disney's one that we discussed in the beginning, is simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. And I always go to the simplest approach at the beginning, which is this, it's we don't know what we don't know. So we have to have all the data in front of us before we can make those decisions. A lot of my firms get shocked when I say, here's this simple sheet. I want you to go ahead and write down exactly what everybody in your office is doing for an entire week. We need to understand first where time is being spent before we know who we can start supplementing. Or, you know, if you have your paralegal that you're paying $75,000 a year ordering paper, or taking phone calls or intakes, things of that nature, that's not a great place to have that person spend their time. Likewise, a lot of the times I'm getting attorneys that are solo. They're absolutely solo. They have no support staff or very, very minimal, maybe an assistant that helps them just keep on track, you know, manage my calendar, take my phone calls.
Right.
That attorney really needs to buckle down for a week and understand where they're spending their time. Because if we don't know where we're spending our time, how are we going to know who needs to come in to support, to take that work off of our plate? And so when they do that, they can then see, you know, and I have three columns, you know, the paralegal, the legal assistant work, and then the attorney. And they can start calculating their hours. And I give this cheat sheet on this is really what you should be doing, attorney, as an attorney. This is what you went to law school for. To start marking down, and then we get this beautiful little easy total at the bottom that says, I'm spending 95% of my time on admin work. That is a very big waste of my billable hours that I went to law school for 4 years to be able to charge. So that's the first step of understanding where that hire needs to be made.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing when I interview my clients and prospective clients to understand how they're spending their time. First of all, nobody's really tracking their time other than billable hours, but it's making copies, it's bookkeeping, it's, you know, trying to figure out software. It's all these things that are outside of the billable hour and business development, which are the two things I want them spending time on. I want them making money billing hours, and I want them outgrowing business. And so not having a good assistant, not having a paralegal, not having an associate to delegate to is like the number one reason why lawyers, I think, aren't successful in growing a law practice, whether that's a solo practice or a small firm or working at a big firm.
Yep, absolutely. So, and I think we're on the same page on what a lawyer should be doing. I tell the lawyer and they kind of get flabbergasted when I tell them this. They said, the only thing you should be doing is things that paralegals can't, which is giving legal advice, setting fees, attending court hearings and trials, and network marketing. Your face needs to be out in the world. The things that we can't do for you, you need to be doing. And everything else should be handled by professionals that you can bill out, for instance, double what you're paying that paralegal on their billable rate. And so it's, again, like you said, it's narrowing down what that attorney should be doing to actually promote business growth, not just running a business, but growing a business. And then figuring out then from there, can we hire somebody cheaper? You know, we don't need a paralegal, 20 years of paralegal experience to make copies or fill in a template form, a notice of appearance, dealing with discovery, exhibits, all of those things. We can be strategic at that point on where the best hire is that's not only lucrative to the business operations, but also financially sound.
Yeah, and it's amazing how lawyers rationalize, it's just easier if I do it myself. And they're not really thinking about the $20 to $40 an hour, even $75 to $100 an hour that must be delegated because they're billable at $400, $500, whatever the case might be. And I think it's like is it just the pain of change, the pain of like bringing in someone new and having to onboard them and having to train them and having to take the time that just stops them in their tracks and they just say, well, I'll just do it myself. It's easier than that.
100%. It's either they don't. And this is something I personally learned as my business is growing and I'm bringing in more recruiters and bringing in more support for myself. It is impossible to seamlessly onboard somebody if you don't have procedures, anything written out. So it's taking that time up front or having somebody help you take that time up front to start creating workflows, procedures. This is how we do things. This is where we communicate this, you know, and creating training modules, things of that nature that makes those onboarding processes seamless. And then also that onboarding, that system you have put in place, make delegation seamless, especially when you're working in a remote environment. Yes, it is going to take you more time to download a file, email it, send it over with all these instructions than it is to have a good case management system in place where the paralegal can run through and know exactly where the case is at. So it's kind of a mixture of both. And I think that is exactly why we all as business owners say it's just easier if I do it myself than show somebody how to do it. And then, you know, and then they go and do it.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
Hey, Steph, tell everyone what MoneyPenny does for law firms.
We're the call handling and live chat experts. A MoneyPenny receptionist can ensure that your calls are directed to the right person seamlessly, saving you time and money. Steve, did you know that 69% of people don't like to leave a voicemail?
I did not know that. That's a lot of business going away right there. Let's cut to the chase. What are you prepared to do for my listeners?
We're offering an exclusive 2-week free trial. If you're interested in hearing more, you can call me directly on 470-534-8846 and mention that you've heard this ad on Steve's podcast.
Very cool. Thanks. So let's do this then. We've got a few minutes here. Let's break it down into like three simple steps. If we can, it may be four, it may be two, it might be more, not so simple of, all right, I make a decision that I'm a lawyer and I make a decision that I am doing a ton of paralegal work. Okay. I am reviewing docs I shouldn't be reviewing. I am doing, you know, administrative tasks I shouldn't be doing, whatever the case might be. And I say, you know what, I need to hire Jacqueline or I'm going to bring someone in. Okay. Now I've made the hire. What are the key processes, procedures? What is the onboarding? How do I break it down so that I don't mess this up, that I don't just leave them, here's your desk, here's your phone, good luck. That's the old model, right? Mm-hmm. You know what to do. And then it's a disaster, right?
Yep. So
what are like step one, step two, step three? Let's talk about, you know, you made the hire. Thank you, Jacqueline. Great job. This is a great fit, I think. Now we've got to onboard.
Yes. So first of all, it's role clarity. I'm a very big believer, and this is important for step one, is that I'm a big believer that everybody should remain in their zone of genius that not only turns around quicker profitability, productivity, things of that nature, largest margins for ROI. It's going back to what I said, the simplicity form of it. What does everybody do? What is their job? I know in a solo firm, trust me, I was the wearer of all hats. I did all the things all the time for all the people all the time. That was my job. Yeah. But even if that's me, we still need to compartmentalize those job roles so that then we can lead into step two, create workflows. You know, for instance, Clio, they have a task list that you can apply to a matter. And those task lists are automatically going to be assigned to the paralegal, the legal assistant, the attorney in a certain workflow procedure. And the reason that's important for groundwork before you bring somebody in is because then you bring them in and every single day, they already have those tasks assigned to them. And whoever's training, whoever's developing them can kind of go through that each day. And as things progress, onboarding is a marathon, not a sprint. It takes time, but it's the number one component to define job roles and what everybody does so that they can stay in that zone of genius, nail it, grow at it, get very, very good at it where they're doing it in their sleep. And then you start advancing them into more projects, more roles as things go on. I cannot tell you how many times I get firms that scare away our hires that say all of a sudden it's day one and here's 35 assignments due by tomorrow, get them done and they'll quit, because we're in this job market of, it's not, I always say, my colleague Molly McGrath always says this perfectly. Gone are the days where people should just be thankful they have a job, sit down and do the work, no matter how emotionally taxing it is. So it's just getting those job roles defined. You should be creating those job roles for that job posting and then putting them in there with your training modules or your training support, however that looks, on each specific role or task they're doing, depending on their experience level, and then developing from there. I hate to make it that simple. I could get into the 8 steps of legal project management and how to actually integrate people into that. But for purposes of time and simplicity, job roles, job roles, job roles, where we're not just putting them there and I don't know where you're going to fit in.
All right. So my job role is to, you know, if I'm a lawyer, right, it's to, you know, bill the hours, practice the law. It's to manage the firm. It's to handle the marketing. All right. So I have a bunch of things that I define are for me. Then I've got to define for the paralegal what exactly is in his or her role and write that out on a list. So it's not just in my head, it's down on paper. And maybe it needs to be refined. Like if there's things that are absolutely insane, like pick up my laundry or feed my dog, right? May not go over so well. So we need to make sure that maybe that list is reviewed, or that list is, you know, really within the scope of the experience and the talent of the person that's coming in, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. 100%. And also adding into that lawyer, and I'll just say this because I know your listeners are lawyers, is that they also play an integral part in the process of reviewing and returning documents. So making sure that, you know, if they don't trust that we send things out with their signature stamped on it, they better be in that process of reviewing. The idea is to never let anybody become the bottleneck. And so the more we can stretch those tasks out and really refine who is in charge of what, the less bottlenecks we're gonna get. Actually, we usually find that the attorney is the bottleneck.
Yeah, there you go.
So many ways, but that's exactly it. Is getting those jobs. A lot of times, I even say, you know, plunk that into a firm handbook. Not that you're gonna slap this handbook on somebody's desk their first day, but just so that new hire also knows, this is who I go to for support in this process. This is who I go to if this comes up. They really know what everybody does. We especially in solo firms, we fail to actually define that.
Okay, so we got the role clarity. And I think you moved into create workflows. Is that step 2?
Yes. So okay. Then once you're getting all that out, and also obviously this is going to depend on practice area. Estate planning is a lot more predictable than a personal injury case. We have no idea if our client's going to go rogue, if our defendant's going to go rogue. We just don't know what's going to happen. But
right.
To at least have some sort of shell of a process that we can also enter in our humanity and our personal knowledge to adjust and tweak and not rely so heavily on that process telling us to do this, 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 and this next, is to get that in some sort of workflow, you know, whatever practice management, case management, legal. Now
that could be, and I'm going to stop you, that could be a software like a case management, practice management, or can it be on a piece of paper? Like if they're not that sophisticated or they're not interested in that technology, which I think we all need to be at this point, but let's say we're not, it can still be something like step 1 is this, step 2 is that, but having that workflow down so that the lawyer knows what he or she's doing, and the paralegal, for example, knows what he or she's doing, and those that works within the role definitions.
Yes. So you can, if you want more paper, and I'm all for paper and writing those things out there too, slip that into your big accordion file. Every case has this workflow on it where people are initialing, checking things off, writing notes, or you can make it a Word document that's stuck in their file online. Whatever approach you want to take, but I always say it, firms go in and out of software case management systems. They say they're too clunky. They don't do what they need them to do because they're expecting that software or that management system to create procedures for them. They're not designed to do that. You need to create your processes, your workflows, put them into the system, use the system as a tool. So exactly. And I definitely encourage writing it out on paper and having that firm Bible. This is how we do things. And of course, it's always amendable as we learn things and get through a trial and go back and say, we could have done this better. Let's change our process a little bit.
I mean, you might even identify inefficiencies when you write out the process and you go, holy mackerel, this is like from the 70s. Like I need to, you know, there's a bunch of things that I should be doing differently or automations I should be inserting in here. So once we have that workflow created on paper through an intake, a software, et cetera, then what's the third step, the next piece of the puzzle?
That would be to, well, obviously it's kind of a mixture of knowing who does what and then creating your workflows and then plugging those people into the workflows. That is also going to help you in turn. If you even do this now and you don't have staff, that's going to help you determine who you need for your practice in general. I always tell the story of a personal injury client I had. We created these huge, long workflows. I mean, we went into depth because this particular individual had a hard time hiring people that already knew what they were doing. He felt he needed to spell it out for them. Do this, ask for medical records, ask for, you know, discover this. And then he was very shocked to find once we created these and now it was time to hire. I said, I think you have a stronger need for a cheaper legal admin here than you do for the paralegal, because you're very much bottlenecking in that medical records request, dealing with documents filing. So it's kind of a two-part where you find out who that person is and where they're going to fit into that process. And then looking at the volume of your cases to determine what hire you need to make now. And then once you make that hire, you're ready to put them in that process. You have a clear vision of understanding back to square one. This is your job role. These are our workflows. And this is where you're fitting into our processes. These are the people you go to for help.
But then there's also some level of onboarding relating to, all right, it's day one. What is this person doing day one, day two, whether that's work, whether that's training, whether that's they've got to learn your systems. How do we deal with that? Is that's got to be in there, right? Is this step three or step four?
Oh, of course. Once we hire the person, and now this is going to depend on how you're approaching. Either if you're hiring a contractor for 10 hours per week, the onboarding is going to look a little bit different than if you're hiring a full-time 40-hour per week, managing all the things on the case. You know, you're really into each case. For instance, if you have a contractor, you're just going to hire, train, onboard. You got to get them in those systems, get them into the workflow, and then start showing them how you're going to delegate tasks to them, drafting motions. If they're just paper pushing, those people that are more the paralegals that are full-time in boots on the ground in your firm or even working remotely full-time as your employee, I would give them an entire week to familiarize themselves with your system. And I shouldn't even just say a week. It depends on how complex your systems are. It depends on how large your case volumes are to give them that opportunity. I record how to do things. You know, if you need to access this, I do little short, I use Loom or Zoom or something where you can record your screen. Just have them.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that.
Yep. And then giving them touch point meetings, maybe every night for 30 minutes, an hour to say, I have questions on this. Let me ask you these questions, and then letting them continue to get through your processes. And then when they're through that, it's only fair to give your new hire a 2-hour, 3-hour, half a day meeting, team meeting to be brought up to speed on every single case, at least to some degree. I've seen too many times firms throw them at a case and watch their paralegal or assistant spending hours just trying to understand the status of a case or where things are at, versus it would take you 3 hours, 4 hours to run through them all and then say, okay, you kind of have a good knowledge of our open cases. You have a good understanding of our workflows. Let's now execute and ask questions for the next month as things come up, you know, understanding that they're probably still going to be clunky until they get it down.
Yeah. And I think the key thing here is that, you know, you've got to be, you know, patient and put the time in. The more prepared you can be, the better, but you have to put the time in to train somebody up properly. And it is something that isn't going to happen overnight, but you need to, you know, give them direction in a way that they can try to accomplish something and then see how that's going and then make improvements. And eventually you go from telling them exactly what to do to where they're sort of like running themselves and they're helping you run the firm and run your practice without having to say too much. It's all a part of the process. And that's when, you know, and then anyone that has that environment never says, geez, I wish I hadn't have done that. Right. At that point, it's like, you can't go back because now you've figured out you have so much more free time to focus on the law and focus on BD versus having to do all the stuff in the weeds that you shouldn't be doing as an attorney, you know, trying to build a practice. So, right. Well, really good stuff. Wow. I mean, we've come full circle with, you know, sort of like where the world is right now and then what people need to do to get staffed up and get prepared for being efficient. And then, of course, you know, how to actually, you know, in, you know, onboard and get those people lined up. So really good stuff there. Let me ask you about the book that you submitted, Game-Changing Book Time, everybody, Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. Why is that your favorite book?
You know, and maybe I should have picked a different book for the niche I am in. This is very much learning how to market your business. But what I loved about it was that it helped me understand my role in my clients' lives in a different way that was so impactful in a mindset shift. So Donald Miller really talks about building that story brand of, and the story brand isn't your story brand, it's your client story brand. And I think we as individuals in the service industry especially forget that we are not the hero in our client's story. Our clients are the hero and we are their guide to get them to achieve what it is that they want to achieve. And it's not saying that we put ourselves in that hero position because we're, you know, conceited or think too highly of ourselves or anything like that. It's that we forget that we're not our client's hero. They're our heroes. And we're there to, like the Yoda to the Luke Skywalker, we're there to guide them to the mission that they are trying to accomplish. They already are the heroes in their own life and their own business. We just need to guide them to that solution. So that's why I really love that book. It was a page turner. Very good book. Highly recommend it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Jacqueline, if people want to get in touch with you to learn more about Dell Trust Law Firm Solutions, what's the best way for them to reach out?
So they can find out if you go onto my website, del-trust.com, and you'll see there's an area to be able to schedule a strategy call. It's totally free. And all we are going to do is strategize on what hire you need to make, whether that's W-2, 1099, however that may look. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm out there. I'm sure you'll have my spelling of my name in the show notes because it's not an easy one to spell always. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Dell Trust. Just go ahead and find and reach out any way that's most convenient for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Do we meet through Molly McGrath? She was just on the show like a week or two ago.
Was she?
She's awesome.
Yeah. She's amazing. I get to meet her in person in June. So
okay. Yeah. I'm a fan. I hung out with her at the ABA Tech show and we had a blast and she got to watch my ping pong prowess. So there you go. We went out for drinks and some ping pong. Anyway, thanks again for being on the show, sharing your wisdom. I think we got into an area that we don't spend maybe enough time on the show with, which is not only delegating, but also how do we delegate in a way that's going to get traction and results? Because I think that's really the fear a lot of attorneys have. So I think it was really, we really hit the nail on the head with our topic today. So just thanks again. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
Yeah. And thank you everybody for hanging out with Jacqueline and I today. We had some really good conversation on a really important subject of delegation and hiring and onboarding and training and all that. And again, you know, it's all about helping you be that lawyer, be your best self. And without being able to bring in good people underneath you, whether that's a VA assistant, a paralegal associate, whatever, very hard to scale and very hard to really be your best self. So hopefully you got some good takeaways from today. To be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, be safe, be well, and we will talk again real soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.